Dan Freeberg, 1958 recording of Green Christmas. We better.
Please, are all the advertising people represented here?
Everyone except Amalgamated Cheese.
Well, if they're not here for the Christmas pitch, I can't help them find new ways of tying their product into Christmas. That's why I'm chairman of this board. Let's hear it for me.
Hear, hear, hear!
All right, Abercrombie, what are your people up to?
Oh, same thing as every year. 50,000 billboards showing Santa Claus pausing to refresh himself with our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the public has come to expect that.
That's right. It's become tradition.
Fine, fine. You there, Crass. I suppose your company's running the usual magazine ad showing cartons of your cigarettes peeking out of the top of Santa's sack.
Better than that. This year we have him smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It got Santa a little more rugged, too. Both sleeves rolled up and a tattoo on each arm. One of them says, Merry Christmas.
Well, what does the other one say?
Less tars.
Great stuff.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Juan, who are you?
Bob Cratchit, sir. I've got a little spice company over in East Orange, New Jersey. Do I have to tie my product into Christmas?
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to send cards out showing the three wise men following the star of Bethlehem.
I get it. And they're bearing your spices. No, that's perfect.
No product in it. I was just going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Period.
Well, that's a peculiar slogan.
Old hat, Cratchit. That went out with button shoes. You're a businessman. Christmas is something to take advantage of. A red and green bandwagon to jump on. A sentimental shot in the arm for sales. Listen.
Deck the halls with advertising. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Why you can be enterprising. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 bars of soap,
3 cans of peas,
2 breakfast foods, and some toothpaste on a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
5 tubeless tires,
4 quarts of gin,
3 cigars,
2 cigarettes, and some hair tonic on a pear tree. Chestnuts roasting.
Say, Mother, as sure as there's an X in Christmas, you can be sure those are Tiny Tim chestnuts roasting. Tiny Tim chestnuts are full-bodied, longer-lasting. This visible shell protects the nut. Now with XK29 added for people who can't roast after every meal.
Tiny Tim, chestnuts all the way.
Tiny Tim's roast hot like a chestnut hot. And they are mild, 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 mild.
Words to live by, Cratchit.
Ah, for you, maybe. Can't you just wish someone a Merry Christmas for the pure joy of doing it?
Why? What's the percentage in that? Let me show you how to make Christmas work for you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And please buy our beer.
There you go, Cratchit. That's Christmas with a purpose.
I know, but wait a minute. Don't you guys make enough profit the other 11 months? Christmas comes but once a year.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make. Hit it, boys. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better make hay while the snow is falling. Oh, that's opportunity calling you.
Jingle bells, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Rub your hands, December's here. What a wonderful time to be glad and merry.
Just so you're mercenary too.
Buy an ad and show all the toys up on the shelf.
Just make sure that you get a plug in for yourself. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better cash in while the spirit lingers. It's slipping through your fingers, boy. Don't you realize Christmas can be such a monetary joy?
Well, I guess you fellas will never change.
Why should we? Christmas has two S's in it, and they're both dollar signs.
Yeah, but they weren't there to begin with.
Huh?
The people keep hoping you'll remember, but you never do.
Remember what?
Whose birthday we're celebrating.
Well, don't get me wrong. The story of Christmas in its simplicity is a good thing. I buy that. It's just that we know a good thing when we see it.
But don't you realize Christmas has a significance, a meaning?
A sales curve. Wake up, Cratchit. It's later than you think.
I know, Mr. Scrooge. I know.
On the first day of Christmas, the advertising's there.
And commercials on a pear tree.
Jingles here, jingles there, jingles all the way.
Dashing through the snow in a 50-foot coupe. O'er the fields we go, selling all the way. Deck the halls with advertising. What's the use of compromising? Fa-la-la-la-la.
And yeah, let's count the money. And that was Stan Freberg, a 1958 recording called Green Christmas. Sorry for the initial faux pas on that. Getting used to the board here again.
Yeah, that's my first time with it, and sorry.
Completely forgivable. This is the time of forgiveness, the time of year anyway.
Yep.
I do want to add something to the little the Grinch who stole Christmas here, or shall I say the Scrooge of Christmas this year seems to be... let me just explain. To begin with, I favor neither party, the Republicans or the Democrats. I think they all need to learn that they are working for the American people. But I spoke to somebody, a lady in the Dollar Tree store, who told me that her food stamps had just been reduced by the Republican Congress from what was $200 to $125 due to cutbacks that they saw fit to make happen right around the Christmas season. So just want you to know what you're voting for out there. She's a mother of three and a temp worker. And this is some of the odds that they are facing. I want to read a quick quote from Mark Twain, who said of the USA that empires move only in one direction, and that is down by internal collapse. And the last straw is commonly when they rob their own poor. The late Gore Vidal stated that the USA has only one political party, the party of property, and it has two wings. And then, of course, Robin Williams added, politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often. And for the same reason.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So what's the next tune we're going to? I'm getting off the soapbox.
You want to get off the soapbox? I mean, I did so well on the soapbox.
I think the next one is Chuck Berry, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. We decided we wanted to have Rudolph here. I mean, you got to have Rudolph, but... you know, it's not necessarily have to be the...
something a little
jazzy. Traditional Rudolph. So we're going to go into the next one here.
Something a little jazzier. Hold on. This is a 1957 Chuck Berry recording called Run, Rudolph, Run. Enjoy.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Rudolph ain't too far behind. Santa meant to make it in town. Santa meant a merry-go-round. Led Santa to a girl town. What would please you most to get? A little baby doll that can cry, sleep, drink, and wet. And then away went Rudolph, whizzing like a saber jet.
And that was Chuck Berry, a 1957 recording, Run, Rudolph, Run. Next, we're going to go to Danny Kaye and the Andrew Sisters. It's a piece called All I Want for Christmas, and then Bob and I'll give you a little splain in between the cuts.
Yeah, this was an interesting...
You're not on.
Sorry. It was an interesting piece here that old Danny did. You might not recognize his voice as such, because he's doing it in a kind of a little kid voice, but... We shall see how that comes out with him.
And we'll catch you up at the end of the song. Enjoy.
Christmas comes but once a year, so I think it most emphatical that you should ask from Santa Claus something sound and practical.
Like a doll and carriage?
No.
Like a new dress for me and a shiny new suit for you?
No.
Well, like a mink coat and a house and a lot?
Nope.
Well, then what?
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth?
Uh-huh.
See, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I would be if I could only whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. Hey, Patty.
Yes, Danny.
Are we ready to write our letters to Santa Claus?
Well, naturally.
Well, then would you write mine? Because every time when I sit down, would you please write it for me, huh, Patty?
All right, here goes. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
And a fire engine.
My two front teeth.
And a locomotive.
See my two front teeth.
And a yo-yo.
Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth.
And a choo-choo train.
Then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Uh-huh.
It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on a thistle.
I didn't think of good, hey?
Gosh, oh gee, how happy I would be if I could only whistle.
Oh!
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
And a hop-along Cassidy suit.
My two front teeth.
And a water pistol.
See, my two front teeth.
And a little puppy dog.
Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth.
And a cataract.
Then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
We do it together now.
Okay.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Front
my two
teeth.
Front
if
teeth.
I could see my two front teeth.
Gee, if I could if only I have my two front teeth. And a string and a hoe and anything else that Santa Claus remembers, okay?
Okay.
Then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
And That was Danny Kaye and the Andrew Sisters, All I Want for Christmas, 1951 recording, the same guy that brought you Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen and Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court and a whole bunch of other things here. We're doing a little bit of nostalgia with some of this.
I never would have guessed it was Danny
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is maybe a little bit different than you're used to in the speakeasy, but we thought it'd be fun to do some things like this. And
In the speakeasy, we'll fly this gyrocopter into anything.
Oh, yeah, well, just not into a tree, I hope.
Right. That's what we call breaks.
Yeah, and not into Santa Claus, because, you know, he's going to be here before too much longer here.
That's right.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming tonight. He's going to come down your chimney. But you don't have a chimney. So how he's going to get in?
Not me. I'm going to meet him in the front lawn.
Oh, personally. Okay. That sounds good.
Coming up, we've got a 1951 recording of Arthur Godfrey, and I Saw Mama Kissing, or Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night. Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
And that was 1951, Arthur Godfrey. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus, and I know that Santa Claus got a little distracted because he didn't touch the cookies and milk. Let me tell you, they were still there the next morning. I never did tell Daddy that.
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that. But I'm even wondering if many of our listeners remember Arthur Godfrey. I mean, that's a voice from the deep, dark past.
Yes, even just the name jumps out.
Yeah, I mean, he used to do a show called Talent Scouts, which was essentially an amateur hour. You'd come on, and so basically American Idol before there was an American Idol. He did that, and he found a good number of famous people.
He was also pretty famous as a bit of a narrator, I believe.
He was a famous narrator. He was a recognizable voice, and that was a kind
back
of
in the day
thing.
Well, speaking about back in the day, in 1953, 2 years after this the former recording, Cynthia Bassinet did her version of Santa Baby.
Yeah, the sexiest Christmas song ever written.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa Baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list.
Boom, boom, boom.
Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your ex on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
Yeah, we can't leave as many cookies and milk on the side there because Santa's getting stuck coming down that chimney. Got a weight problem.
Yep, absolutely.
That was a 1953 recording, Cynthia Bassanet, Santa Baby, a song that has since become very famous by just about anybody that's ever sung Christmas music.
I mean, that one is really good. You know, I just noticed we're kind of more playing DJ today than we are going.
Why not? I usually never do that, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Hopefully we'll make the grade.
So I think we're going further back in time at the moment, aren't we?
We're coming up to a 1925 tune, but first I want to acknowledge my cousin Lydia, who just called me here at WCOM from Germany. She's listening to the show in Germany. Vielen Dank, Lydia, und ganz frohe Weihnachten. I've got to switch over to my German, and that comes with an accent. Anyway, she called from Germany, so we've got listeners all over the world. Thank you so much, darling. You made my morning. That was my Christmas present. Christmas present from Lydia Neely in Germany, my cousin. Going over now to 1925, Eddie Cantor and The Only Thing I Want for Christmas.
Excuse me, Mr. Cantor. I'm from Associated Press.
Yes?
We're interviewing some of the stars out here in Hollywood. Tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? Well, it's simple and it's plain. It isn't tied with ribbons or wrapped in cellophane. If Santa passes by my stocking, I promise not to mind a lot. The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got. A pair of loving arms around me, a garden of forget-me-not. The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got. A friend or two, a peaceful sky of blue, a place to hang my hat when work of day is through. If Santa passes by my chimney, I'll still be happy like as not. The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got. The only thing I want for Christmas just to keep the things that I've got.
A pair of loving arms around me, a garden of forget-me-nots.
The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got. You know, there's a lot of unhappiness in the world today, but we still have peace over here. In this country, we really have Christmas 365 days each year.
If Santa passes by my stocking, I'll still be happy like as not.
The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things.
Our governments are taking care of us. It's going to be a good thing if we can manage to keep the things that we've got, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, that's always been one of the themes here. But I'm going to just ask you a question here. If we take, you know, it's a half hour into the show, so let's take a moment. Aren't you doing something special for Christmas? And you joined the circus or something? I heard.
On the 20th and 21st, I had the most amazing pleasure of working at Mimandi Concert Hall in Raleigh. And I was one of a team of four who hoisted Cirque du Soleil acrobats into the air to perform with the North Carolina Symphony. The performance was actually called Cirque du Symphonie.
Oh, wait.
And I've been a big fan of Cirque du Soleil ever since they started. But to actually work with these people and be a hands-on part of what they do was extraordinary. And the show was just exquisite. It was a sellout for all three performances. Began Friday night and then Saturday matinee and Saturday night performance. See. And it was flawless, but the acrobats were just insanely good. It's what made Christmas for me this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason they were good is because you were hauling up one of the lions, right?
Yeah, right. What we just heard, of course, was Depression Era, 1925, Eddie Cantor, The Only Thing I Want for Christmas, and we're going over to Brian Heffernan at this point. This is actually a 2006 recording, sometime yesterday. And this is called Santa Claus Rag. I still get a big kick out of the fact that my cousin just called me. Let's go to Santa Claus Rag, Brian Heffernan.
Down at the factory where I work, at every Christmas party we all go berserk. At the Christmas parties they serve free beer, and I'm still in the doghouse from the one last year. Running the switchboard is old Miss Lee. All through the year this old maid she ain't nice to me. But at the parties her eyes just snap, and I don't dare sit down cause she clamps on my lap. Our boss is Ole Berger's son. All year long this old guy he don't have no fun. But at the parties he has a ball. She sings secretaries up and down the hall. We got a salesman who sings so loud, you hear his voice above the shouting of the crowd. He sings so loud at what he's pointed toward, he blows potato chips right off the smorgasbord. The boss starts the party off with a speech on goodwill. He says he loves us. Yeah, we are his pals. Then when he's through talking, he shows what he means by trying to kiss all the gals. The men are all laughing and pouring out beer. I know some of these guys are delighted, because Christmas parties are used for the help, and the wives are never invited. Then we exchange silly presents, and the fat guys get girdles. They put them on and dance around and wiggle. And when some of the girls open their presents, they scream, and their faces get red and they giggle. Old Miss Lee, who always jumps on my lap, she keeps following me around. And sometimes she tries to sit on my lap when I ain't even sitting down. Mr. Hanson, the salesman, he never stops singing. All evening his loud voice is blaring. He stands by the smorgasbord shouting Silent Night with his mouth full of pickled herring. The boss chases Miss Svensson around the water cooler. She's the one we call Jane Russell for short. All the fellows hope the boss don't ever catch her, because watching her run is great sport. I always start to go home around midnight, but I never get home until 4. The little woman comes out on the porch to meet me. Holy Moses, his dreamboat sore. She whoops and hollers about the lipstick on my face. I always feel like a dime. But I never miss the Christmas party at the office, 'cause we sure have a dandy good time. Now this year, if you plan to celebrate, be careful of that lipstick and don't get home late. And while your gang is having fun, I'd like to just say Merry Christmas, everyone.
And apologies from the speakeasy here. This was actually a 1967 recording of Yogi Jorgensen, and it was called A Christmas Party. We seem to have... I don't know that we have a copy of Santa Claus Rag, but we'll see if it comes up later in the show.
That's probably my fault from the way when I did the CD. But it's interesting, though, with that particular song. There was a point from about 1970 back to about 1940 where somehow Americans thought that Swedish accents were the ultimate of hilarity.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and this was Jorgi. He did a few other...
Yogi.
Yogi. He did a few others, and interesting guy.
Well, we're actually going to play another one right now. This is also a 1967 recording, Yogi Jorgensen, and this one's called I Was Santa for the PTA. At least I hope that's what we're going to
do. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm, you know, maybe...
Let's give it a try. Let's see if that's the one
we got.
Let's
see where we are. Okay.
This is Santa Claus Rag. This is Santa Claus Rag. So we're going to go this one, and then we'll go back to Yogi.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, on Christmas Day. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, carrying his bag. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, and the Santa Claus Rag.
That was 2006, and we finally got the Santa Claus Rag. Somehow it got transposed in our recording of this whole scenario by the archivist, our co-host here this morning.
Me.
That's okay, but we're going to jump right over to the 1967 Yogi Jorgensen, I Was Santa for the PTA. I really like this one.
The PTA, the PTA, I have a Santa Claus at the schoolhouse for the PTA. The parent-teachers group, they call a meeting. My wife, she says, you have to go, my dear. It's the big, important Christmas party meeting. When all the papas who ain't sick appear, I dozed off till the middle of the meeting. When the chairman shouted out so all could hear, Mrs. Jorgensen says that her jolly husband, he will gladly be our Santa Claus this year. The other papas looked relieved and happy. They knew I'd been betrayed by my sweet wife. And I was weak like that strong fellow Swanson when Delilah cut his hair off with a knife. The PTA, the PTA, I was Santa Claus at the schoolhouse for the PTA. On the night of the party, I sneaked into the school. The committee, they all met me there. These giggling women are going to dress me and glue on my whiskers and hair. I got into them big red pants and black boots. The jacket was 7 feet wide. When I got into it, there was still plenty room for one good-sized reindeer to hide. Then I walked into the school gymnasium. The plan was that each little tyke would walk up and shake hands with old Santy and tell me what presents they like. The first kid was little Dagmar Larsen, who wanted a new kiddie car. She patted my face with her wet little hand, which was half full of warm chocolate bar. The next kid in line was the young Scarbo boy. I think that his first name is Milo. He's the orneriest brat in the whole darn school, and he's built just like a brick silo. Last year, he says, you promised to bring me a real sharp sword and a gun. And all that you brought was new shoes and a coat, you dirty old son of a gun. Then he yabbed his finger right in my eye, and I let out a heck of a groan. And when he kicked my shin with his brass-toed shoe, I was sure that he'd broken the bone. Then old man Gethormson picked his granddaughter up, and when he put her down on my lap, his lighted cigar set my whiskers on fire. They started to crackle and snap. I jumped up and made a run for the door as fast as my sore leg would go, and put out the fire in a snowbank and cooled off my face in the snow. I didn't dare go back, so I hurried on home and closed my front door with a slam. And in my own home, my dog bit me twice before he figured out who I am. But the kids all had a nice Christmas, and in spite of what happened, I'll still say, I'd be Santa Claus again next Christmas for the good old PTA. The PTA, the PTA, I have a Santa Claus at the schoolhouse for the good old PTA.
All right, enough of the Swedes. Let's go over to the French Canadians and have Robert Goulet do a song, an Italian song, known as Dominic the Donkey. We'll elaborate later. Yep.
Here we go. Hey-o, chickity-chick, it's Dominic the Donkey, chickity-chick, the Italian Christmas donkey, la 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little jackass, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingle-a-chick, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingle-a-chick, the Italian Christmas donkey, la 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 la. First change. Jingle bells around his feet and presents on his sled. Hey, look at the mayor's derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Chantel and a dress for Josephine. The label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. Hey, jingle-a-ching, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingle-a-ching, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. La 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 la. Hey Dominic, children singing, clap their hands, and Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to him, and he even understands. Kumaris and Kumaris do, and dance the dance thrill. When Jack the Morgan comes to town, he brings the good Chanel. Hey, chingity-ching, it's Dominic Christmas donkey. Chingity-ching, hee-haw, hee-haw, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 a la 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 be da do.
Hey, Dominie.
Hey, Dominie, that's my line.
On another holler.
Jackass. Only
the speakeasy will bring you a jackass for Christmas.
Yeah, well.
This is WCOM 103.5 FM, Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Just want to thank you folks for tuning us in. Hope this is going to be the merriest of Christmases for you all, and even a shout-out to Lydia in Germany.
Yeah.
Give us the scoop on Dominic the Donkey and how that ever became a Christmas song.
That's it's an Italian song, and the idea was that Italy, especially Sicily, and then, of course, the central part of the boot, is full of mountains. And the Italians apparently thought that the reindeer wouldn't be strong enough to pull Santa's sleigh, so we needed a donkey to help them along, and so was born Dominic the Donkey. Of course, the most famous recording of this was by a fellow by the name of Lou Monti, who was an Italian singer, very good singer, and very famous, did a lot of the shows and in nightclubs in New York and other places.
Does he sing it strictly in Italian, or also the?
No,
English
he sings in Italian and in English. And he isn't. I'm not even sure if he's still alive, but I know he's. He was very popular back in the 1960s. He did a piece called Peppino the Italian Mouse, and it was.
And then a skunk stole that name, Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, well.
Give us a little bit of a lead in here on Thurl Ravenscroft. This is coming up as a 1958 recording by Thurl, unusual name, Ravenscroft. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah, I think everybody has probably heard Thurl Ravenscroft at one time or another. He is the standard deep basso profundo that you hear in a lot of songs. He's sung with many, many orchestras and groups throughout his career.
Was he considered opera?
No, he sung mostly pop, but he's mostly known for being the voice of Tony the Tiger. They're great, and you'll pick that up right away.
Fantastic.
When we hear from Thurl.
This is 1958. Thurl Ravenscroft, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
I love that one. Coming up, we've got a recording that was made in 2000, a little closer to modern day here. This is by a group called Hotbox, and this is just to show you that we're very open here at the Speakeasy. This is it's called All I Want for Christmas is Jews.
Yeah, it's a Jewish Christmas carol, which is an odd kind of thing.
Right. Let's have it.
Yes, sir.
Don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
For Christmas is Jews. I wonder how the Jewish race feels about having a Jewish Christmas song. That's got to be a new one.
Uh-huh.
This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater presenting you a postcard from the Speakeasy, which is actually brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Historic Apex Arts Council, one can say as well. And I've got the president right here at the helm as my co-host today, Bob Crowley himself, and this is yours truly, Claudio. Bob, cue us in on that.
Well, I'm just wondering if the Apex Arts Council is historical or hysterical sometimes, but we try to go both ways.
It'll be part of the history eventually. I know it's relatively new.
2005,
okay.
So
still young.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
All I Want for Christmas is Jews. I'm going to confuse a whole bunch of people and go down the street tap dancing to that tune.
Yeah.
They're going to say, what are you doing?
It's actually a pretty good song, and it's
very catchy.
And it's complimentary, too.
Absolutely. So we got a 1956 recording of Stan Freberg once again coming up, and this one's called nothing for Christmas.
Yeah, which I'm trying to figure out which is the bad little boy, me or Claudio. Probably both.
I think we both qualify, yes. I've never been called a good little boy.
Yeah. Okay.
I broke my bat on Johnny's head. Somebody snitched on me. I hit a frog in sister's bed. Somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's rug. I made Tommy eat a bug. Bought some gum with a penny slug. Somebody snitched on me. So I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad. I put a tack on teacher's chair. Somebody snitched on me. I tied a knot in Susie's hair. Somebody snitched on me. I did a dance on mommy's plants. Climbed a tree and tore my pants. Filled a sugar bowl with ants. Somebody snitched on me. Oh, hurry up. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad. I won't be seeing Santa Claus. Somebody snitched on me. He won't come visit me because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight. Next year I'll be good. Just wait. I'd start now, but it's too late. Somebody. Who's that coming down the chimney with a bag over his shoulder? It's him! It's him! I thought he wasn't coming!
Where's the silverware, little boy?
In a dining room, like I told you!
And the jewelry?
Same place as last time. How about my cut?
The usual?
The usual. Join me on a chorus, okay?
Why not?
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad. Have a good season?
Excellent.
We're going from 1956 to 1954, and Nothing for Christmas is what you just heard.
Yep.
And 1954 is going to be Homer and Jethro. I guess they were a team.
Yep.
And this one's going to be called All I Want for Christmas is My Upper Plate.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
You want to elaborate?
Well, some people only want their front teeth, but when you get to be our age, shall we say, you're going to look for a little bit more than just your two front teeth. And if you lose that upper plate, believe me, you're not going to enjoy the turkey on Christmas.
So in this case, when the older version of All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, the older version is I Want My Front Teeth Back.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but we're going to give you All I Want for Christmas is My Upper Plate, coming at you from Homer and Jethro, a 1955 recording.
All I want for Christmas is my upper plate. I'm losing weight without my plate. I got my lowers, but I need my upper plate so I can eat my Christmas turkey. I left them in a glass of water by my side. When I awoke, I nearly died. I hope the guy who took them will be satisfied, 'cause I can't eat my Christmas turkey. I used to eat corn on the cob and little bitty pickle green tomatoes. Christmas Day, all I can say is pass the mashed potatoes. So won't somebody tell me what I'm gonna do? My poor old gums are black and blue. The turkey's on the table, but I just can't chew. And this ain't a very merry Christmas. Sure is hard. I can't even chew it just a little. Christmas Day, all I can say is pass the peanut brutal.
Well, that's brittle.
Oh, Jethro,
uh-huh.
Without my upper plate, it's brutal.
So if you got an extra plate that's laid away, I'll borrow it for Christmas Day. You can send it to me, care of RCA.
And friends, that address is 806 17th Avenue South, Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know the zip code.
And I'll have a very Merry Christmas, cha-cha-cha.
All right. Well, I just want to remind everybody, since we're coming up on the top of the hour here, that you're tuned to WCOM 103.5 FM, Carborough Chapel Hill, your community radio station. And in being that it's today is Christmas Eve, Claudio Speakeasy is honoring the jolly old elf himself here.
Indeed, in a very satirical way. Every once in a while, it's good to have a satirical edge on things, especially since we got to be careful to make sure that this time of year doesn't become an absolute mockery of what it's supposed to be.
That's exactly correct. And it's all about goodwill, peace, and earth, and all that stuff. So let's keep it that way. But then, of course, once you've got the Christmas presents put away, we move to the day after Christmas, right?
This is what happens the night after Christmas. Let's keep them same boys busy here and sing that one too. This was recorded in 1955. Once again, Homer and Jethro, The Night After Christmas. I love this one.
Baggy Christmas stockings were lying on the floor. The empty Christmas wrappings looked like there'd been a war. The children weren't nestled or snuggled in their beds. They went a belly whopping down the stairs on their sleds. Then Ma tried on her Christmas hat and felt just like a queen. Till Pa found out how much it cost and turned all red and green. The Christmas tree was lit up, and so was Uncle Si. He thought he was a reindeer and insisted he could fly. He hollered out, "Hey Blitzen, why don't you wait for me?" Then landed right smack in the middle of the Christmas tree. Uncle Harry was parading up and down the hall, a-breaking in new slippers, a half a size too small. My sister and her boyfriend were fighting toe-to-toe. She caught him a-kissing someone else beneath the mistletoe. Then Paul got out his squirrel gun, the one he got from Paul. Now he was only cleaning it, but blasted down the wall. The baby started crying, and Ma said, "Can't you see? Christmas comes but once a year, and that's enough for me." And then from in the fireplace, there rose up such a clatter. We ran into the parlor to see what was the matter. The chimney was a-shaking, the soot fell all about. A voice within was bellerin', "Won't someone let me out?" We looked up on the rooftop, and much to our surprise, we saw eight little reindeer, but no one there to ride. Then Paul poked up the chimney, he used a great big stick, and all at once came tumbling down a feller called Saint Nick, all covered up with ashes from his head right to his foot. And when he spoke, from out his beard fell 20 pounds of soot. "Since Christmas Eve I've been in there, I'd like to make it clear, if you don't get your chimney fixed, I won't be back next year." And then as quick as lightning, he sprang up to his sleigh. He gave a little whistle, and soon was on his way. But I could hear him holler as he drove out of sight, "A Merry Christmas to you all, and to you all, good night."
And Homer and Jethro, The Night After Christmas. Of course, we need to know about that night, too. Coming up is a recording that Bob managed to dig up of 1903, Hans Hoffmann, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, the first recording of Silent Night, Holy Night by Hans Hoffmann in Germany. And I'm going to let you elaborate on that.
Well, it was the first commercial recording of the song Silent Night. The very first commercial recordings of any type were released in 1893. That was essentially the birth of the music business we know today. This song, of course, is much earlier. It dates to a Christmas, I think around 1840 or something like that, where the church organ at this little church in Bavaria had broken, and they needed something for Christmas, so one of the priests wrote this song so it could be done on a guitar. And it became world famous. And this was the first ever commercial recording released for sale to the public.
And this is Hans Hoffmann with Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Und Lydia und Jessica, das ist für euch.
Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Weihnachtslied gesungen von Opernsänger Hans Hoffmann. Edison Rekord.
Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, alles lebt ein Sommer, nur das rote Hoch, Heilige Paar, und der Gnade im lustigen Haar. In himmlischer Ruhe, schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, oh, the Lord, keep all thine earthly good, thou shalt keep rest and
that was Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht by Hans Hoffmann, recorded in 1903, and I believe, and Bob's going to, our historian is going to elaborate on this, it was recorded on some kind of a cylinder. That's the reason for the strange sound.
The original was actually recorded on a wax cylinder. This was the way Edison had designed this, and then the piece you heard was an MP3 that was recorded from the cylinder. And that's where the reason for some of the scratchiness. The other thing you remember is that that particular recording is 110 years old this year. That's over a century ago. And I think it sounds pretty good for being that old.
Yeah, the fact that you can still recognize anything on it is pretty amazing. It's amazing how we've managed to keep some of these archives.
Yep.
What's even more amazing is you finding them.
Yeah, well, I'm an amazing guy.
Coming up, we've got something absolutely beautiful. I love the sound on this. This was recorded in 2000 by Chinese Chorus. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，祝你新年快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，祝你新年快乐，把星星带到每一个角落，把新年的心许带给你们和我，把星星带到每一个角落，把新年的心许带给你们和我，我们祝你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，我们祝你圣诞快乐，祝你新年快乐。
I just think that's a beautiful sound. Chinese chorus, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. That's one of the ones that absolutely I had to include in this this collection.
Even though you don't understand a word, just that's such a beautiful sound.
Doesn't matter. I mean, we're being international here. We've had German, we've had Jewish, we've had Italian. Well,
and we've had all kinds of people doing it, so yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up right now is 2006, Unknown on the Technetium, and Bob will elaborate on what the technetium is afterwards. This is Little Drummer Boy. Bob, I'm going to let you explain what this is, the technetium.
The technetium is a fascinating instrument that most people don't realize that exactly what it is. It's an electronic piece. If you were to see one, it looks like a long box that the operator sits behind. There's a steel rod running across the box and then another one vertically, and they create a magnetic field. And it's by poking your hands into the magnetic field and moving them around that you create the sound and the music, and it takes a long time to master because you're actually just poking air with your hands to try to get the music. And most people probably wouldn't recognize it directly, but if you've ever listened to the original Star Trek theme, the technetium was what was used to create that kind of otherworldly
sound. Gave it that
sound.
Outer space feeling.
Yeah. So that was quite a piece. But, we just wanted to have something unique here.
Absolutely, and I would say the whole collection so far has been unique. And we've got coming up a 1935 recording of Al Jolson singing Auld Lang Syne. Explain to us what Auld Lang Syne means.
Auld Lang Syne is a traditional song for this time of year, the end of the year. In the Scottish Celtic dialects, it means all long since.
So all long since.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about your memories, a little bit of melancholy. That's why we use it for the end of the year, New Year's, because we're saying, you know, let's
goodbye to the old, hello to the new.
Let's remember the old times and move on. But all long since is what we're going to remember.
I like that, all long since.
Yeah, that's basically it. So and Al Jolson did it wonderfully here. So. Let's go to that.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and day of old? Auld Lang Syne, my dear, Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of wine yet for Auld Lang Syne. My dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. Good night, everybody.
And that was my friend, Mr. Al Jolson. The next one is not exactly a Christmas piece per se, but it is in the spirit. It's our own Claudio reading one of his works back in the days when he used to open for Mike Cross. What was that station?
It was on WQDR, Bob Walton announcing. Basically, it's a piece that I wrote in the spirit of Christmas, although it's not necessarily a Christmas piece, just something to remind us of what Christmas is all about in a sense that I think will reveal itself to you quite easily.
Okay, let's hear from this.
Good morning from WQDR Raleigh. This morning we present something a little bit different for us, an original narrative reading and composing from the poet Claudio, and now the Crown of Thorns. The morning breaks with frosty glow as a man walks silent by the sea. And in his heart the memories flow of when he died for you and me. So as he walks, he sees a child playing in the sand. And to the infant young and wild, he reaches out his hand. He speaks to him in words of love, and not those of confusion, of where the people far above live not in false illusion. And then he speaks of how it could be, here forevermore. Says for this miracle to happen, we must open every door. The young child then, in verge of tears, touches him on the shoulder, and relating to him his many fears, says, I'll get there when I'm older. The man responds, my child, my son, live but in love forever. And I'll prepare for you a place in the land of never, never.
Then slowly rising, he leaves the sun to his playing in the sand. And in reflections of the sun come visions of his hand. The visions linger like the nightly stars as the child discerns the healing scars. Then bowing low to morning skies, he kneels into the sand. And first he whispers, then he cries for help to understand. And as lessons after many years make every child a man, he soon defeats his many fears and strives to understand. Then soon for him a son is born by strong and loving wife. The birth takes place one frosty morn, as the gift of love is life. And as many, many years go by, and seasons bid their change, some will live and some will die for life to rearrange. So the father is buried by the son, one bright and wondrous day. And when the work was all but done, I heard the youngster say. He spoke of people who worshipped kings and other all such foolish things. And one day crying, he spoke to me of his encounter by the sea. And through his tears, I still hear him say, live in love for every day. And should you live yet a thousand morns, remember well the crown of thorns.
Once again, thank you for tuning us in on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre here on WCOM 103.5 FM. And my dear friend, Cousin Lydia, if you are still listening in Germany, I dedicate this entire show to you, but particularly the poem you just heard. To keep in the spirit of where our minds and hearts should be at this time of year, really at every time of year,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to play a story I wrote about meeting a hobo that I think will give us the Christmas perspective of where our hearts should be. And I'll elaborate a little bit on this once the story's told.
Matter of belief. Essentially, when one regarded the very heart of his situation, it became ultimately apparent that it was not due to a lack of desire, will, or ambition, but almost except for variables of his life which I am in no position to endeavor to analyze or explain, exclusively due to a social disease named poverty. His name was Isaac Hoskin, or so he called himself. I became familiar with only a short rendition of his life's achievements and failures. Short though it may be, in its essence and the respect in which the story was related, it very uniquely and genuinely gave revelation to nothing less than a lifetime, and a possible insight and understanding of the death of a compassionate man. I had the good fortune of meeting Isaac Hoskin in a short distance before the bell tower, As I was taking an early stroll along Hillsborough Street one crisp and windy winter's morning several memorable years ago in Raleigh. I watched him from my distance and observed his weathered face and his rather clumsy and tired attitude of walking. Observing the man and his wary gestures, not to mention an insufficiency in dress, a tattered grey coat which was far too small for a man of his stature, pants legs which ended in their length slightly above his ankles, and stained brown leather boots beneath which the soles were held together by nothing less than a miracle, I was compelled to make my approach. Compelled without reserve, though I may have been, I was careful to maintain an attitude that would not dishonor or offend him. He accepted an invitation to breakfast with me, and so it became my next task to find an inoffensive little restaurant where he would not be a victim to blatant stares. I distinctly recall his eagerness to sit down in the comfort of a chair and warm surroundings. He read the menu and glanced across the table at me in a gesture of respect, suggesting that I were to decide upon his choice of a meal. I encouraged him to have anything he desired. He ordered eggs, double hash browns, double grits, coffee and toast. I ordered two eggs poached and served on toast with hash browns, grits, and a cup of hot tea. Isaac Hoskin ate as if it were the last promise of a meal in years to come. Once breakfast was digested and our coffee and teacups were down to a single sip, we had them replenished by our waitress, and it was then Isaac began his story. "Claudio," he said softly, "I thank you for your generosity and kindness. And as I have no way of repaying you, I will tell you in short what it is that makes fools of men like me." He shifted himself into a more comfortable position in his chair, as did I, and once again began to speak. "There was a time when I was wealthier and more prosperous than you see me now. A time of a wife and son back in the earlier days in New Orleans. A time of love, smiles, laughter, and prosperity. And then came the war. And with it a depression the likes of which will not be known again. My son Alfred died of a bullet wound in Munich in late 45, as the war ravaged the European continent. My wife, Marcel, and I were barely able to make ends meet as my piano playing and entertaining in French saloons became almost entirely insupportable to our livelihood there in New Orleans. She was unable to accept the death of our son and gradually receded into a depression so deep that I was no longer able to reach her. She survived Alfred by less than a year. So, my friend, I was re-wed to my solitude and an almost unbearable sadness." I noticed the tears of painful memories forming in his eyes and rolling down his beard stubbed and wrinkled face. It was a face which bore the scars of lifelong tears. Even when he smiled, his eyes reflected a mournful glow. I recall subduing a few tears of my own. "So how did life go on?" I asked in a low voice and as I took another sip of tea. "Well, friend, for several more years I continued to play the piano in many of the same places in the French side of New Orleans. I was affording myself a reasonable living for a man of my conservative needs, until the days of the more sophisticated musicians came along, the ones that could read sheet music. It seemed performers such as I, who had received no former education and who therefore played the songs by ear and memory, were dying out in rapid succession. The day arrived when such jobs were no longer attainable without a considerable education in the arts and some sort of a musician's degree. The unions of that day only aided in making matters worse for those like me. Their rates were inaffordable, and when a man did pay, the only guarantee given was secure employment with the same salary and insufficiency as before. To tell you the truth, the only thing that kept me going in those days was pure faith and belief in the one above. That and a stubborn, almost ignorant persistence in the belief that things had to get better. They were at the time in their ultimate worst. In 69, I left Orleans after one last glance at Marcel's grave and stole my passage aboard a train headed for Florida with about 15 hobos and tramps. Until 75, the hobos and I were inseparable, traveled far and wide across America, always working for a few bucks here and there. And when one of us didn't have it, everyone shared and shared alike. I learned to love those people. Everyone, including myself, had a dream of greener pastures, better days, and an imperishable belief in that unseen power we name God. Frankly, that was all we ever had when you get right down to it. In the late summer of 75, a few hobos and I boarded in our own way a train bound for North Carolina. The first it was due to pass through New York from Orlando, Florida. In Raleigh, we were due to meet several more of our traveling friends on a train from Chicago. And so, my friend, this is the winter of that same year. The train from Chicago arrived, yet without our friends. McCarthy, Daniels, Shepherdson, and I assumed they got arrested, until we read the papers that the train they boarded in Orlando had derailed and capsized, killing 12 unknown people who happened to be in the boxcar that caused the accident. My three friends departed for Florida the first chance they got, yet for some reason I remained here in Raleigh. I'll tell you why. Because I like the feeling of this place. I enjoy its aura of serenity, its colleges, its youth. But most of all, it is to me a place of the spirit, a place to communicate with such as have found God. I love the country people here, and have come to love that which I have discovered of North Carolina. In short, I believe I came here for a learning of my spirit as I have discovered nowhere before. We both shifted in our seats to once again maintain a position of comfort, ordered more coffee and tea, and eagerly drank our cups down. It is at that time Isaac Hoskin introduced the conclusion of his story. And so, my friend, that is all I wish at this time to relate. Please forgive me, but I have a train to catch this afternoon and should begin walking in its direction. He began to get out of his chair as I asked, "Where will you go?" "Oh, methinks to Florida, where my friends are, and where ones like me and the hobos can sleep the dry nights on the beaches and have a few laughs and share a few dreams for old time's sake." "Isaac," I urged, "please allow me to pay your passage by bus. I have more money than I need at present and would be glad to help a friend." "Thank you, my friend. You must understand that offers of this nature come too few times in my life, so I gratefully accept. I do believe that Alfred and Marcel are talking to God about me and sending luck my way. Thank you, my friend." It was around evening time before his bus arrived, the bus that would reunite him with friends who could share his dreams, laugh together, and spend the dry nights on beaches by the seashore. He took my hand and shook it tightly before boarding and gave me a smile of gratitude so rich in its expression that I shall never forget the likes of him. Then he boarded and took seat by a window, opened it, and as the bus began assuming its journey, he shouted, "Remember, friend, the moral of my story is keep the faith, for in all of your days you will find nothing more true about life than your belief in it. No matter how often you stand discouraged, no matter what any man may tell you, no matter what, my good friend, remember well the words of Isaac Hoskin. Life is but a matter of belief." And so the bus assumed its journey. It was much later during that same evening that I overheard a news broadcast on a friend's radio. It went as follows. A man approximately in his late 70s was found dead in the passenger seat aboard a bus, destination Orlando, Florida. Death is believed to have been caused by a long-term pneumonia. Evidently, the man bore no identification whatsoever. He is believed to be a vagabond who boarded the bus in Raleigh, North Carolina, earlier this evening. I turned off the radio. It was a good night for a long walk. I would later stop at the bell tower on Hillsborough Street and offer a silent prayer in dedication to a friend whom I had met there earlier upon a stroll. I decided that I would celebrate his passing. After all, where we go from here in the end when the physical is over, when we transgress into the spiritual realms, was aptly put in his own words, as a matter of belief.
And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. I just thought that should give us a good soulful place to be for the holidays. And really, like I said, it should be a consciousness every day when we see those less fortunate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's, I'm almost speechless of those last two pieces. We had a lot of fun in the beginning, but the last two really bring it home. And I really appreciate you bringing those in, Claudio.
I appreciate having them heard. It's funny how even how it even touches me to hear them, even though that was a younger version of myself performing them. I want to make the statement that, to bear in mind, keeping in theme with Isaac Hoskin here, money is not the prime asset in life, but time is. And it's later than you think. You have brought, Bob, some additional material that we're just sort of going to play randomly at this point,
right. The
postcard from the speakeasy here. Give us a cue and take us to some music.
I will just take you to some music. You know, since it's Christmas, we're going to do some of that. And most of you may not have know the name Mae Questel, but we're going to start with her because she was one of the voices of Betty Boop.
Ah.
Christmas, anything that Santa would bring could never compare with you. I want you for Christmas. You're a pet that money can't get, and nothing but you will do. Oh, I just wrote a letter, and if my wish comes true, you can bet by Jimmy he'll come down the chimney with a bag full of you. Woo! I want you for Christmas. If only Santa does what he should, I'm knocking on wood for him to make good. Christmas morning, baby, I only want you. You know, Christmas will soon be here. Mm-hmm. And that's one time of the year it's proper to plan a stocking for Santa, hoping that he'll appear on that pleasant day when presents are given away. Oh, I just want one gift on December 25th. I want you for Christmas. I don't want a diamond or pearl. A duke or an earl won't do. No, I want you for Christmas. I'd give up a brand new dress for one caress from you. Oh, I just wrote a letter, and if my wish comes true, you can bet by Jimmy he'll come down the chimney with a bag full of poo-poo-spee-doo. Oh, I want you for Christmas. I'm old enough to know what I want. Oh, I want what I want. I'll get what I want. Christmas morning, baby, I only want you. And if my wish comes true, you can bet by chimney he'll come down the chimney with a bag full of boop-boop-bee-doo. Oh, I'm old enough to know what I want, or I'll get what I want. I want what I want. Christmas morning, baby, I only want you to do a thing. I only want you, whoopsie-whoopsie. I only want you.
So that was 1934.
Betty Boop, huh?
Yeah.
Amazing. 1934. I guess we don't really know what follows what at this point.
Well, I mean, apparently there's another recording of Silent Night coming up, but this will be an English version.
Ah, okay.
So let's see what that's about.
And now we have one request. When I say one, I'm sure it's unanimous. Christmas time always seems to bring us close to who? Somebody whose voice means more to us than anything else in the world. And I'm sure each one of us is thinking of that someone right now. So we'd sincerely appreciate it if Miss Martha Ray would sing Silent Night.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. All is dry.
those of you who didn't recognize the voice doing the introduction, that was the great Broadway comedian Phil Silvers.
Certainly a known name, recognizable even to this day.
Absolutely. And those of you who have ever seen the, and who You'll Never Get Rich, the Sergeant Bilko show, well, that was it. Let's jump a little ahead of that, 1943, and let's go to the Andrews Sisters.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, we have a lot of fun.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
And, of course, those of you who didn't recognize the voice, that was Bing Crosby singing with the Andrews Sisters.
In early days, one of my favorite things about Bing Crosby is that he inspired one of my absolute favorite voices of all time, and that's the voice of Dean Martin. Dean Martin got his crooning by mimicking Bing Crosby. Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to a female voice this time, one that may not be very familiar to everybody, but her name is Vera Lynn. She was a British singer and did a lot of stuff. She sang everything in the 1930s and 40s and early 50s. If you listen closely and you have a good ear for sound, think back to movie Dr. Strangelove, and remember the closing song? Well, that was Vera Lynn's version of I'll Be Seeing You.
For those who loved the bomb.
For those who loved the bomb. But this time she's singing about a white Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and the children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days Christmas is be white.
That was Vera Lynn, a very famous voice back in her day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean that worldwide.
Oh, all over the place. She was. She sang everything. And we're gonna go to another kind of Christmas standard. The song is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And we will see who we get.
Who is singing?
I'm not sure.
I don't know yet.
This is going to be some fun. We didn't script this one, this part of the show very much, and that's okay.
That's
we're just going to have some fun.
It's the part where we're still digging it up.
Yeah, we're just going to play around with it, and here we go.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Faithful friends who are dear.
all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
It took both Bob and myself a moment to really catch who that was. That's actually the chairman of the board, sounding better than he ever has.
That's
Frank Sinatra.
Frankie Sinatra, exactly. I know a fellow Jersey boy. There's a restaurant, or at least there used to be, in Hoboken called the Clam Broth House. And I always found it interesting that if you go into the men's room of the Clam Broth House, you used to see a copy of Frank Sinatra's birth certificate hanging in the men's room. I don't know what kind
in
of...
In the men's room.
I have no idea what comment that meant.
Okay,
but,
Frankie, you made it.
Yeah, so...
that was a Jersey boys. We're just letting them know we love you, baby.
Yeah. Now, we got one other that's kind of an interesting little song. Do you know Santa Claus had a little assistant once in a while, Willie Claus?
Willie Claus? I have.
Yeah, well, there was a singer by the name of Molly B. who recorded this one back in the early 1950s.
Santa Claus once caught a cold the night of Christmas Eve. Though he planned to make his trip, he felt too sick to leave. Suddenly he heard the bells a-jingling on his sleigh. He looked out in time to see his outfit pull away. Willie Claus, little son of Santa Claus, hitched the reindeer to the sleigh. Willie Claus, filling in for Santa Claus, crack the whip and drove away. Giddy up, Willie hollered, giddy up, driving southward in the night. Tingling, tingling, with the bells a-jingling, Willie soon was out of sight. Mama Claus came rushing in, and breathlessly she said, I just looked in Willie's room and Willie's not in bed. Dear, oh dear, cried Santa Claus, I think he's run away. He had on his new green suit and drove off in my sleigh.
Willie Claus, little son of Santa Claus,
had a job to do that night.
Willie Claus, filling in for Santa Claus.
Went down chimneys left and right. Bicycles, choo-choo trains, lots of dolls and aeroplanes. He left toys for everyone. Water guns, cowboy hats, puppy dogs and pussycats. Just like Santa would have done. Christmas morn the sleigh flew home across the snow-white plain. Mom and Santa saw at once that no one held the reins. Out they ran to search the sleigh, and when they looked in back, guess who they found sound asleep upon the empty sack?
Willie Claus, little son of Santa Claus.
Two more gifts were all he had.
In his arms, they were nestled in his arms.
One said Mom and one said Dad. Santa Claus, Mama Claus, smiled a little Willie Claus. Then as they picked up their son, Willie Claus, little son of Santa Claus, whispered God bless everyone.
Willie Claus, little son of Santa Claus.
And we got one more coming at you before we bring the speakeasy to a wrap.
Yep, and this one is one of the absolute classics of modern Christmas music. This is old good old Brenda Lee with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Of course.
You gotta have this one.
rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can't see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let me jolly set the house with boughs of party. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Bows a party, rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
And with that, I think we're going to bring the speakeasy to a close, this new special two-hour Christmas edition. And we'll let Mr. Claudio here lead us out.
Bob, first of all, I got to say this is a wonderful collection of musical archives that you've put together. So thanks for making this postcard from Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater possible.
My pleasure.
Excellent work. And we need to do more of this sort of thing with other type of explorations throughout the year.
Oh, I can do all kinds of things.
I'm sure.
Good collection of this type of music.
Fantastic. I want to say what a pleasure it's been to entertain all you listeners out there worldwide, and especially my cousin in Germany, Lydia. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you folks so much for listening, for tuning in this abstract version of Christmas that we had today. Have a merry, merry Christmas, one and all. Until next time, this is Speakeasy signing off. Cheers.
Merry Christmas.